fighting for America.
As your commander-in-chief, I will not commit you and the rest of our armed forces to fighting another ground war in Iraq. They can secure their own country's futures.
Fighting for Idaho.
I think these guys got to realize that they're role models and they can't be doing things like what they're doing today. They need to recognize that, hey, look, if I do something like that, I'm going to get suspended or banned from the league.
Fighting for you.
Congratulations for the Marconi Award. Did you have to speak Italian to receive that?
Yes, I like these very much.
Boise's Mr. Right, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. Kevin Miller in the Morning.
I'm so proud of you.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Now, everything you heard is why I, the actual owner of the Alaska Cannabis Club, will be dedicating all of my energy toward fighting for freedom and fairness, which begins with legalizing marijuana here in Alaska. And as for this job, well, not that I have a choice, but I quit.
All right, we apologize for that.
Boy, how do we start the morning off here? I think the whole world's gone to pot. First, Seattle, making sure that if you toke up in public, no worries. You don't even get a citation. You've got our friends in the, in Oregon wanting to legalize pot, Colorado legalizing pot, Washington legalizing pot. Has the whole world gone to pot? And then we have this newscaster in Alaska basically saying, yeah, I own the cannabis. I'm all about fighting for freedom and fairness. And what the heck was she smoking? By the way, good morning. Kay Milley with you here at 580 KIDO. My goodness gracious. I love the proponents of pot by what they say is, well, look at all the money it's brought in. And here's the skinny. Those of you listening at 580KIDO.com on the radio pup in Colorado or Washington, because gosh knows, y'all need good talk radio. You don't have any there. And we appreciate you listening. Quite a few members there. This is your antidote to the haze-laden, dope-smoking populace. Hey, prostitution would bring in big money. Heck, let's just legalize pot. Let's legalize pot. Let's legalize prostitution. Let's legalize gambling. Let's just get rid of all our vices. And why stop at marijuana? Let's go to the good stuff, the cocaine, the meth. We don't have a meth problem in this state, do we? Heck, we just need to trust the government to regulate it, right? We just need to trust the government to regulate. Heck, we need to get William Morris, Philip Morris, Joe Camel involved in the marijuana trade. It's not really, how should we put this? It's not a gateway drug. Look at how many people that smoke dope are millionaires and billionaires and have initiative and incentive. I'm thinking to myself, are we that misguided? When we have states that surround the great conservative moral bastion that is the state of Idaho going to pot, literally. And people saying, well, look at all the money that Washington's bringing in. Look at all the money that Colorado's bringing in. Are we all about the Benjamins? No. We're about faith, family, and freedom. And then you're going to have some jabroni slappy talking about alcohol.
Now, this is why I, the actual owner of the Alaska Cannabis Club, will be dedicating all of my energy toward fighting for freedom and fairness, which begins with legalizing marijuana here in Alaska. And as for this job, well, not that I have a choice, but I quit.
All right, we apologize for that.
So emotional, I lost my voice on that. So emotional. It's not follow the leader when it comes to the state of Idaho. We're not wanting to be the part of Washington or Oregon or Colorado. What we want to do is continue to keep it safe. And by the way, those people that want Idaho to go to pot, what about the kids? Our pot proponent joins us now, 580KIDO, Liberal Steve.
Hey, Mr. Miller. I had to call that little old lady in Iowa today and congratulate her on her award, too, same one you got. Hey, and she only had a 15-minute show every day. Here,
really wasn't, yeah.
To say about
the 91-year-old that won Small Market Personality of the Year? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has a 15-minute show, not 4 hours?
Yeah, and she's a liberal. Can you believe that? And she loves interviewing children. Hey, man, would you? What's with you? You know, alcohol destroys more lives, kills more.
We're not talking about alcohol. We're talking about marijuana.
Well, they outlawed alcohol at one time. The alcohol was outlawed in Idaho after alcohol was outlawed and put back on the market in the United States. It was outlawed again by one of our governors, and it didn't work. And the pot thing ain't working. I don't care about the cannabis and the pot. That in 4 or 5 years, Idaho's going to have the same thing as everybody else. They're always way behind on the bandwagon, but when those ones with the big R see how many tax dollars they're losing and everything else, well, you know, we got to be good neighbors, and we're going to have to bring it in. I'm concerned that we import all our hemp into the United States, and we consume more hemp in all our products and use in all our products than just about, well, more than any other country, and that's a fact. But we're not allowed to grow it in this state. But there were 14 governors and senators from other states that got the hemp law in the last.
All right, stand by there, dope smoker. Coming up next, the president will speak here at 580 KIDO. Then we'll take more of your calls. We'll react to the president's speech coming up, and we go now to the president of the United States at 580 KIDO.
America's armed forces began strikes against ISIL targets in Syria. Today, the American people give thanks for the extraordinary service of our men and women in uniform, including the pilots who flew these missions with the courage and professionalism that we've come to expect from the finest military that the world's ever known. Earlier this month, I outlined for the American people our strategy to confront the threat posed by the terrorist group known as ISIL. I made clear that as part of this campaign, the United States would take action against targets in both Iraq and Syria so that these terrorists can't find safe haven anywhere. I also made clear that America would act as part of a broad coalition, and that's exactly what we've done. We were joined in this action by our friends and partners, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Jordan, Bahrain, and Qatar. America is proud to stand shoulder to shoulder with these nations on behalf of our common security. The strength of this coalition makes it clear to the world that this is not America's fight alone. Above all, the people and governments of the Middle East are rejecting ISIL and standing up for the peace and security that the people of the region and the world deserve. Meanwhile, we will move forward with our plan supported by bipartisan majorities in Congress to ramp up our effort to train and equip the Syrian opposition, who are the best counterweight to ISIL and the Assad regime. And more broadly, over 40 nations have offered to help in this comprehensive effort to confront this terrorist threat, to take out terrorist targets, to train and equip Iraqi and Syrian opposition fighters who are going up against ISIL on the ground, to cut off ISIL's financing, to counter its hateful ideology, and to stop the flow of fighters into and out of the region. Last night, we also took strikes to disrupt plotting against the United States and our allies by seasoned al-Qaeda operatives in Syria who are known as the Khorasan Group. And once again, it must be clear to anyone who would plot against America and try to do Americans harm that we will not tolerate safe havens for terrorists who threaten our people. I've spoken to leaders in Congress, and I'm pleased that there is bipartisan support for the actions that we're taking. America is always stronger when we stand united, and that unity sends a powerful message to the world that we will do what's necessary to defend our country. Over the next several days, I will have the opportunity to meet with Prime Minister Abadi of Iraq and with friends and allies at the United Nations to continue to building support for the coalition that is confronting this serious threat to our peace and security. The overall effort will take time. There will be challenges ahead, but we're going to do what's necessary to take the fight to this terrorist group, for the security of the country and the region, and for the entire world. Thanks. God bless our troops. God bless America.
There you have it. The President of the United States speaking at 580 KIDO. We'll get your reaction. Plus, back to our proponent of pot, Liberal Steve at 580 KIDO.
I'm sure glad our president smoked pot so he could have a cooler head to these knee-jerk Republican reactions like McCain.
bomb, 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 get our troops in there. Come on, let's send guys in there. And we have a president, a leader that works. Look at all the countries that were involved.
Yeah, and, what? And two, the United States and Jordan. Whoopee.
How many men and women are in a company, a military company, Kevin? You were a soldier.
I was.
How many are in a company?
What, 100?
120. So they just knocked out an entire company.
Yeah, you know how much you know how much that cost us? Millions of dollars.
Who cares what it costs?
I care what it costs.
What do you think it's going to cost when they shut this country down because of the terrorist act?
Well, I'll tell you what's going to shut this country down is dope smokers like you.
Oh, dope smokers! Come on.
Hey, make sure when you talk to when you talk to Nellie or Bessie, I'm sure you gave us a shout out over here. Did you not?
Oh, absolutely.
All right then. Thank you, Liberal Steve. Tea Party Bob at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Boy, I'm glad that section's over.
I think we might need some cannabis after that one.
The things you have to put up with be on the air. You know, I want to bring up this this ISIL thing and what's going on over there. If you remember, about a year ago, I brought up an interesting situation where there's a pipeline that has been in the works since 2010 to go through Syria that would carry about 3.9 billion cubic feet a day. Now, this is a deal that was made between Iran, Syria, and Iraq. And, of course, the Russians were included in that, too, so that they could move some of their gas through there. Now, all of a sudden, you see this big deal with ISIL. You see all of this trouble taking place. Who do we think is really funding these rebels, these terrorists? Well, let's go back and take a look. It's going to be Saudi Arabia, Qatar, United Arab Emirates. We already know
that. And these are the folks in our alliance.
Yes, these are the ones who had been funding the rebels that have been trying to destabilize Syria. Now, you know, everything is about ultimately about money and power. And I don't think this is any different than anything else we've seen through the years. When you have the amount of money that would be coming from this gas pipeline, basically undercutting the Russians and Iran, you're talking about huge dollars. I mean, this is destabilizing money. What would happen if Russia couldn't sell that gas or the price of it were cut in half? This is what's going on as far as I'm concerned. Who's offered to fund the war? The Arab states. Who's been part of the coalition? The four or five Arab states. I mean, don't you see this circle here?
I see the circle that we're being drawn into and something that no one else will bring up, so let's get it on the record.
I mean,
just in time for the midterm elections, too.
I mean, this is all out there in the news, but nobody wants to take the time to read it. This has been out there for 2 years, but nobody looks at why this is all happening. And this is so clear if you take a good look at it. Qatar is the home of the world's largest gas field, along with Iran.
And the home of Al-Qaeda. Tea Party Bob, thank you for the call from the Gem State Patriot, our great friend Tea Party Bob. Time for traffic at 580KIDO. Currently 62 in Eagle. Good morning, Dave.
On Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And coming up at 8:30, Congressman Simpson will join us in studio to take your calls. We'll get his reaction to the president's big announcement that we stand shoulder to shoulder with our allies. And we look forward to hearing from Congressman Simpson. By the way, if you're just tuning in, we were talking about legalization of marijuana when you hear this news broadcaster say.
Now, everything you heard is why I, the actual owner of the Alaska Cannabis Club, will be dedicating all of my energy toward fighting for freedom and fairness, which begins with legalizing marijuana here in Alaska. And as for this job, well, not that I have a choice, but I quit.
All right, we apologize for that.
There we have it. She used the F word. Isn't that a class act? We have Washington, we have Colorado, and possibly Oregon. It'll be on the ballot in this November. Those states have legalized it. Oregon putting it on the ballot whether or not they're going to legalize pot. I think it's a dumb move, and you have to have values, you have to have structure, you have to have rules, And let's face it, if you don't follow them, there are consequences. Let's continue on with that at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And on another issue, and this is something that is very close to home to a lot of us, and this is the town hall meeting, this rally we're having this Thursday at Foothills Christian Church at 7 o'clock, along with our friends at the Boise Rescue Mission. And this is something that really people in our business don't do a lot of. Look, we have town hall meetings concerning guns, war, all sorts of things. But to go out and do something about domestic violence, I mean, who really wants to talk about this issue? We don't talk about this issue unless it's, boy, that Ray Rice, he is a bad person. Then you have this young woman that was, you know, recently killed locally. You have a child that was killed. The perpetrator, the convicted criminal, sentenced to, what was it? Life in prison? Who beats a child to death? Yet these aren't national stories. These are stories here in the Treasure Valley. And remember, each day in Idaho, more than 519 victims of domestic violence and their children seek safety and services from community-based domestic violence services. We're going to feature those folks there. And then we're going to have a prayer, because I do believe all things are possible with the help of the Lord, with the help of our fellow folks. And as I said, is it daring to do this? No, daring is sticking up, standing up to an abuser or leaving a bad situation. And remember, nationally, 1 in 4 women will experience domestic violence in their lifetime. Think about that. Maybe you know somebody at work. Maybe you've seen these issues. Our goal simply is to stop this from happening. And I know you can't stop this, you can't stop that, but we can't sit idly by. So I appeal to you. And I will say this, as someone who works and who is obsessed with providing you with the most up-to-date, relevant information each and every morning, that wants to make you laugh, that wants to make you get fired up, that wants to motivate you. Look, I don't like leaving my home. Mrs. Miller's always on me. Oh, we need to do this. Let's just stay home and have a turkey sandwich with mustard and bell peppers. A very exciting life she lives. But when it comes to stopping someone from being beaten, when it comes to stopping a child from living in fear, it's worth the effort. Now, some will say it's too short of a turnaround. Now is the time to have this meeting. And I'll tell you why. It's in the news. It's on the top of everybody's mind. I don't know if you caught Jeff Manasso last hour. You talk about, or 2 hours ago, very, very emotional, and he was just supposed to talk about the NFL. Couldn't help but go on and on about this. We can't help but try and do something. So as someone who is here for you, I ask you to be there. And if there's 5 people, we'll call it an intimate gathering. If it's 500 people, so be it. But it's information we all need. I'm so touched by Linda from Emmett, going to drive in. She shared her story. And that's how we change people. That's how we move the meter, if you will. For more information, you can go to our website under Rally Against Domestic Violence. Or just join us this Thursday night at 7. I will be there. And if it's just you and me, at least 2 people have made a stand. Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO.
Ryan Wiley, weekdays at 6. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580-KIDO, Congressman Mike Simpson with us here. It's been a while. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. And congratulations on the Marconi Award. I hadn't had a chance to tell you that.
Well, thank you, sir. You're always on the forefront of these things, so I appreciate you you giving us that. It's really a tribute to all the community service that goes on in this great state and the nonprofits that work with us. But I've got a couple questions for you. I don't know if you caught the president. He was just on a second ago taking a look at ISIS and ISIL and this coalition. And if you haven't heard it, I don't blame you because, again, it came on like when you were en route.
Right.
Talking about that we're arm in arm with our coalition. You do the research on this. What do you make of these attacks last night, sir?
Well, everybody knows that ISIL or ISIS, whatever you want to call it, is a bad actor and needs to be taken care of. And I don't have any problem with the aerial attacks, the bombings that have been going on to degrade them and so forth. I voted against the resolution that would have allowed for the arming of the Syrian moderates, I guess you'd call them. I'm not sure who we're arming.
The Syrian Free Army this week, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know for sure who we're arming. I'm not sure that a year or 2 years from now, those weapons won't be turned on us. And, you know, when people talk about moderates in the Middle East, I get a little nervous because so far I haven't seen a lot of them. And I don't understand how one day the president can say arming the Syrian moderates would be a fairy tale, you know, that they would be able to take on ISIS. And all of a sudden it becomes the necessary part of taking out ISIS that we arm the Syrian free rebels to be our boots on the ground. I also don't understand how the president can give a speech and one day say, or not one day, in one speech, say that this is a direct threat to the United States, ISIS is, and we're going to bomb them, but we're not going to put any boots on the ground. To me, if it's a direct threat to the United States, you take them out by whatever means necessary, and you don't tell people what you're not going to do. So I don't think we have a strategy in the Middle East. The president even announced he didn't have a strategy a week before he gave a speech last week. So I guess it was 2 weeks ago. Said they didn't have a strategy yet on ISIL. So I'm very uncomfortable with what's going on there and the potential that it would drag us into another war.
Congressman Simpson, when the president says not once, not three times, but five times, no boots on the ground, I mean, you've been around, we've all been around, that's a tough promise to keep.
You've got boots on the ground there now. You know, they're not in a combat role, they're in an advisor role and stuff. If you remember, Vietnam started with advisors in Vietnam, and at some point in time, then boots went on the ground. That is a very, very tough promise to keep, because the question now is, even with the bombings that were last night, as I understand it, they've been fairly effective. Who's going to step in and take that territory? Because it's, at some point in time, you got to occupy that territory. Now, is it the Free Syrian Rebels that is going to do that? Is it the Assad regime that's going to do that?
Which, by the way, the Free Syrian Rebels, as you pointed out, heck, a couple months ago, they were working with ISIS against Assad.
That's
very
right.
Confusing.
Yeah, it is very confusing. And I don't want us to get in the middle of another ground war in the Middle East without knowing what our strategy is, at least, what we're trying to accomplish.
That is indeed what are we accomplishing here at 580KIDO. Let's go to Pro Life. He was waiting for you. Pro Life, you're on with Congressman Simpson. Good morning.
Yeah, you know, one of our big problems in this United States is that we murder a lot of our preborn babies, and we've never determined when legal personhood begins, and I just have kind of a yes or no question.
When does personhood begin? Is that your question?
Yeah, but does legal personhood begin at fertilization or some other point, and what point would it begin?
That's a debate that's been going on for centuries, or I shouldn't say centuries, for decades within this country ever since Roe v. Wade is when life begins. I have my belief that I think life begins at conception. Others think it begins at viability. Others believe it begins when a baby is born. So, you know, who's right? You got to go with what you think is what you believe.
Yeah, and then you should sponsor personhood at fertilization then.
All right, there's a suggestion, Pro-Life. Thank you for the call. Thank you for listening to 580KIDO. Back to you, and you're a pretty big deal on appropriations.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'm on appropriations.
Well, appropriations is all about money,
yeah, right? Right.
You know, you get concerned when we're spending millions for these tomahawks and everything else. I mean, we seem to be footing the bill for this. And, you know, people in Idaho are worried about their kids' future, their kids' kids' futures, and we're spending money like we have it.
Yeah, this authorization to train the Free Syrian Rebels is about $500 million they anticipate. We are currently $17 trillion in debt, almost $18 trillion in debt. We have been bringing down the annual budget deficit by reducing discretionary spending every year for the last 4 years. First time that's ever happened. So we've been making tough decisions. Unfortunately, what's happening is the entitlement programs and so forth are growing faster than we can reduce the rest of the debt. So the deficit continues to grow. We've got to get in and do entitlement reform, tax reform, and a few things like that if we're going to get this country on a sound financial basis again and start reducing the debt rather than growing it.
Let me ask you the art of being a congressman, and we'll take more calls here for Congressman Simpson here at 580-5436. You pretty much shun the national spotlight. You're you know, an expert at uber localism. We'll see a video of you defending the potato before what's his name, former governor Vilsack or Vilsack or whatever his name is. You do the work that's not going to get you a lot of headlines, but that's the really the true work of being in Congress, right?
Yeah, it is, and that's what I do. And by the way, Vlasic is a pickle. Vilsack.
Thanks. He seems like a pickle the way he picks on the potato.
I know it. I mentioned that to him one day, and I said, apparently you haven't seen our commercials, and that there's only 100 calories in an average potato and so forth. And he said, well, it's not the potato. It's everything you put on it. I said, well, you don't blame the potato for that.
Right.
But they're trying to take potatoes off of the WIC program and stuff, and all the evidence suggests that people on WIC actually need to eat fewer white potatoes than people not on WIC. And they're the best source of fiber and potassium and other things, the cheapest source.
Good source of revenue for the state, too.
Yeah. You know, the thing is that with the potato growers, this is not going to expand their income a lot. There's not all that many potatoes you're going to sell on WIC. What it is, it's the message that's being sent by the Department of Agriculture that potatoes aren't good for you.
Right.
And that's just nonsense. So, you know, I try to work on issues that affect Idaho. Obviously, we get into national issues. I'm very involved in trying to get our budget deficit back in order with the Go Big Coalition and those types of things. Immigration reform is going to be a big issue coming up in this coming Congress. And I'm very interested in working on those issues. But, yeah, you still have to take care of what's going on in your district and your state.
That's the important thing. But before we I do want to do a follow-up, though, on money, because that is the number one issue for folks. But let's go to Bill in Caldwell at 580-KIDO for Congressman Mike Simpson. Hey, Bill.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Congressman. Thank you for your good service in Congress.
You bet.
My frustration, I think, is shared by a lot of us in Idaho and others across the country, and that is with Speaker Boehner. You voted the right way, as far as I'm concerned, on this attack in Syria and so on, and I appreciate that, because we don't have a strategy. And at the same time, it seems as if the Republican Party has no strategy, coherent strategy. You've got Boehner wanting to jump in line with Obama all the time. And I'm wondering if there's any chance, any possibility that after the next election, we can dump this guy and get a leader in the Congress, because Boehner certainly is not a leader or a unifier. What do you think?
Well, I disagree with you on that. I think John's been a good speaker, and I think he's worked hard trying to bring a conference together that's very divided. If you look at this vote on Syria, it was kind of a strange vote, both on the Democratic and the Republican side. 71 Republicans voted against it, and I think it was like 80 something Democrats voted against it, or 90 Democrats voted against it. You look at it, and it was the progressives that never vote for the military voted against it, and it was also some of the people in the Armed Services Committee that are very supportive of our military and taking military action voted against it because of the lack of a strategy. But I think John has tried to unite our conference and is doing a better and better job. I can tell you, I wouldn't take that job in a heartbeat.
You don't want to be speaker?
No, not
majority leader?
Not under
majority
the current
whip?
Circumstances, no.
You just want to be a congressman in Idaho.
I just want to do my job.
Well, I appreciate your attitude, and I appreciate your representing us in Congress. But I would respectfully disagree. I think Boehner is a poor leader. I think he has failed to even make clear to the nation what the Republican Party stands for. And the guy that's running against you was on with Miller last week, and I heard him, and he said the same thing. He said, you know, there's the Republican
Party has
the party of Ted Cruz. They have the party of Marco Rubio. They have the party of Senator Paul. there's no cohesion here, and I'm really afraid that's going to lead to a Democratic win in 2016, and that would be a tragedy for our country. But thank you, sir. Have a good day.
I will tell you.
All right, Bill, thank you for the call.
One of the real problems and one of the real challenges is we have, just like the country is divided, and if you look at polls and stuff, it's more divided than it's ever been. Congress is the same way. And trying to lead a conference that has 30 or 40 members who don't understand that you win as a team or you lose as a team is sometimes very hard, and trying to get a majority to do anything. And if we take the Senate, the Republicans take the Senate, and we have the House and the Senate, and all we do is argue among ourselves still, 2016 will be a bad year for Republicans and for the presidency.
More coming up with Congressman Simpson next, 580-5436. Let's get you to work safely.
Alex Jones, weekday evenings at 7. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Congressman Mike Simpson with us here, and we go to the mailbag, and we go to one of our progressive listeners who has been with us from the very beginning, the Boise rabble-rouser, who tells me that he points to a USA Today article talking about the CBO, that the deficit is going to fall quicker than normal. The deficit this year is expected to be $514 billion, just 3% the size of the economy, and a significant less than the $1.4 trillion deficit Congress ran up when it pumped the stimulus into the economy. He believes the deficit's going down. Yeah. Life is good.
The deficit has been going down. It's been going down because we've been cutting spending, and also because slowly, in fact, slower than any other recovery in history, right, the economy is starting to come back. You've seen unemployment go from the, what was it, 10-point-something percent down to, I think, 6.1%. That doesn't account all of those people that have quit looking for work. It's still too high, and the economy has not recovered yet, but it is moving slowly in the right direction. We'd like to move it a lot quicker in the right direction.
Now we have our, well, he can't call in because he called in once today because he doesn't believe the ISIS threat. Our friend Tom Munns asking, wanting to ask Congressman Simpson if a constitutional declaration of war is required prior to an attack.
You know, that's a very interesting question, and it's one that's going to be debated as soon as we get back into to Congress. In the past, declarations of war have always been against countries, against Japan, against Germany, or that type of thing. This is not a country. This is an ideology or a terrorist group or whatever. And what the president is going on now is the AUMF, the Authorization for the Use of Military Force, that was granted to President Bush in 2003 on or 2001 to go after Al-Qaeda. And some would say Al-Qaeda and its affiliates. This is a group that started as an affiliate of Al-Qaeda and has become so radical that even Al-Qaeda has disowned them. But that will be debated when we get back into Congress, I think, and was very insistent when this last vote came up on the authorization to arm the Syrian rebels, that we have a separate vote on it, that it not just be included in the continuing resolution to fund the government for till December 12th, because that puts people in a bad position of, you know, you don't want to shut down the government, but I don't want to vote for this resolution for the authorization of training these rebels and arming these rebels. So we did a separate vote on that, and then it went into the CR and passed. But I think Congress needs to have more voice and needs to stand up and say that we are required to do these debates. And if a declaration of war or an authorization for the use of military force is required, then that's what Congress needs to do.
Congressman Mike Simpson with us here at 580 KIDO. What do you make of your opponent, Mr. Stallings?
Seems like deja vu all over again. I ran against him in 1998. He and I were the two candidates running for this seat when I was first elected. And since that time, I've obviously served in Congress. And I know that he's been trying to get me for the last 16 years, I guess. he served on the Pocatello City Council after that. And, I like Richard. He's, he's a good guy. He sometimes, says some things that I don't even think he believes, but about me, but, you know, that's okay. It's what campaigns, the way campaigns work.
Quickly to Ian, 20 seconds with Congressman Simpson. Go ahead, Ian.
Hey, congratulations on your win in November, Congressman.
Thank you.
Do you think that we'll ever get back to the point where the country's operating on budget and not continuing resolution?
All right, yeah. Great call. Thank you.
Yes, we will. I've said that I'm going to live until I see that day. It is, you would think the one thing that Congress has to do is to fund the federal government. And we know every year when the fiscal year starts, that's October 1st, we ought to be able to do our budgets on time. And I think that's one of the things that we're working toward. We in the House have been passing our budgets and getting them ready for conference and everything else. The Senate has not passed one of the 12 appropriation bills. That's been the real holdup and the problem. And we need to have a partner on the other side of the rotunda in the Senate that actually passes appropriation bills so that we can conference them. And frankly, the reason we need to do individual bills and conference them is that as Republicans with a Democratic president, the only way you're going to get some of the policy changes you want is to put them in appropriation bills. That's just the reality. So we need to be fighting to make sure that we do the regular appropriation process. It's something I've been fighting for years, and we're going to continue to fight for it.
Congressman Simpson, to be continued. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Thank you.
Let's get you to traffic at 5. And it's Kevin Miller reminding you this Thursday night, 7 o'clock, Foothills Christian Church, this Thursday night, 7 o'clock, our rally against domestic violence. More details at 580KIDO.com. Good day. God bless, and keep the faith.
Serving Emmett, Idaho.